Centuries ago, a droplet of sunlight falls from the sky and lands on earth. And when it touches the ground, a radiant yellow flower blossoms. Now the flower was said to be capable of great power. And one day an old crone named Gothel finds the flower and discovers that when she sings a certain song, this flower emits a power to restore Gothel's youth. So vain and possessive of the flower, Gothel hides it beneath the woven basket and returns to it to keep herself young. Now, before long, a kingdom is built nearby, and a ruling king and queen are desperately wishing for a child. And when the queen finally becomes pregnant, the entire kingdom celebrates, but soon afterwards, the queen falls ill, and she fears that she may lose her life. Upon hearing a rumor of a legendary sunflower that in haste Gothel forgot to really cover, they discover this flower. And they bring it back to the queen, and to everyone's relief, the queen recovers and soon gives birth to a beautiful baby girl, who, unlike her brunette parents, has shiny golden hair. Gothel, however, is not pleased. She is determined not to lose this magical powers that gave her eternal youth. So she breaks into the castle late one night and finds the baby princess lying in the crib. And she discovers that the baby girl now has the power of the flower. So desperate, Gothel resolves to kidnap the princess and flee deep into the forest. And she takes the baby to a secret tower hidden in an alcove, where she raises the child as her own. Now, Gothel really has the child there as a slave, so her golden magic hair will keep her young, but she tells her that she's her mother and that she's doing to keep her up in the tower to keep her safe. A lot more happens after that, and I'm going to get to the ending of the story a bit later. But for now, who knows the name of the movie that I just was talking about? A few? What's the name of the movie? Rapunzel. And who's the name of the princess? Rapunzel. What's the name of the movie? Tangled. So today I begin a new series called Fairy Tales Can Come True. It may seem a little bit strange to talk about fairy tales. We got fairy up there by the cross. It seems a little bit weird. We're talking about make-believe, and yet we're talking about the cross. This doesn't make sense. Why would you mix those two things together? It'll all make sense, I think, in a little bit. Now, I'm preaching today from a little bit from a book, at least parts of it, Union with Christ, and I have asked if anybody of the congregation wants to. We got a few more copies in the back. I'm reading and using parts of it for the first section today, parts of the second section for next week, and then we skip a couple of weeks and we do section 3 on Easter and the last section the week after Easter. If you want to donate $12 to the cost and get a book, you can do that if you have the funds. Otherwise, just take a book. So I want to talk a little bit about imagination. Talking about fairy tales, we got to talk about imagination. The word imagination is often linked to the make-believe world, like fairy tales. But in truth, our imagination is greater and much more important than just imagining things that aren't true. God has given us imaginations to be used for things that are true, not just for things that aren't true. Anything that has happened in our past, we use our memories, but then we use our imaginations to help recall what it was that happened. We play out future scenarios using our imagination. I mean, I can only imagine, right, what it will take when that day comes, when I find myself standing in the sun, that great song, I Can Only Imagine. If we, like I asked the kids, you know, can't really prove even your house exists. You have to kind of imagine it. But I can't prove if I have an object at home, but I don't have it with me, I kind of have to imagine what that object looks like. So we use our imaginations all the time. But I fear that Christians today are in danger of losing their imaginations to build their faith. Hebrews 11:1 says this. This is the central verse for this sermon today. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. So the very simple questions are you living with confidence of what will come? Do you live with faith about things you don't see? Are we using our imaginations enough to remind ourselves what we believe is really true? In this day and age, I'm not so sure it exists. We live in an age where nothing exists beyond the five senses, right? We live in a moment and we use our five senses and that's it. There's nothing else. And that's what I fear we've become. Now, this passage here, Hebrews 11:1, most often when I see a sermon on this topic, on this scripture, people talk about all the evidence. It's, you know, our faith isn't a blind faith. There are reasons, there are good logical reasons to believe what we believe. And I'll even get into some of those eventually, Easter Sunday specifically. But for right now, I want to take the other side of the coin here. How come in this day and age, we don't embrace mystery anymore? What we quite don't understand and figure out, we lose trust in. We don't believe in things that we don't fully grasp anymore. Why are we so reluctant to embrace mystery? I mean, who doesn't enjoy a good mystery? Have you ever marveled about how our faith is established on things that we can't see, things that we hope for but yet can't fully verify? Instead of looking at that as a bad thing, that's a cool thing. That's a mysterious, awesome thing. That's what faith is all about. This fantastic mystery we don't quite have figured out. So let me read a few more verses to help explain all this. This one comes from Romans 16:25-27. Now to him who's able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. The only wise God be glory forever through Christ Jesus. Amen. Now this verse tells us that, first of all, this is a mystery to some degree. But part of it has really been solved. When Jesus came and was born and he lived and he died, we understood what the Old Testament prophecies were about. Imagine living in the Old Testament or B.C. of any kind before Jesus came and reading these Old Testament prophecies and going, well, that's a mystery. I do not know what that's talking about. We've been given the answer to that mystery. We know it was talking about Jesus Christ. It would have taken a great big imagination to live at that point. We imagine a reality that is true, but is beyond what we can currently experience. See, the mystery of what happened with Jesus Christ shapes our beliefs about what God has done for us. I can't run a scientific experiment here and prove it to you. But the mystery is of what has happened in the past has shaped us about what we believe. The mystery of his coming again must shape how we hope for a better future. The mystery of his spirit inside of us shapes us how we live today. We have to stop seeing mystery as a bad thing. There is a mystery that is. But that doesn't mean it's just make up, make believe. It doesn't mean it's just a fairy tale. When we combine our faith and we use mystery combined with faith, it becomes magical in some sense. The fairy tale comes to life. Let's imagine with confidence. I'm going to read you some more scriptures here. And I want your imagination to soar. And I'll try to help you a little bit as I point out some words. Ephesians 1:4 says this, "For he chose us in him before creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which has freely given us in the one he loves." She gets the word predestined, or gets the word adoption there. Philippians 3:20, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." Where do we belong? Heaven. 1 Peter 2:11, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul." What are we? Foreigners. Exiles. Some translations use the word aliens. Is it weird to think of yourself as an alien? This is not our home. Can you imagine? Can you picture it? Do you have faith that this is true? If you saw the end of the movie Tangled, you know what happens to her. She finds out that Gothel is not her real mom. And Gothel has lied to her all this time to keep her there as a slave so she could stay young. And at the very end of the movie, she's reunited with her original parents, her real parents. And they weep. And they embrace and they hold each other. She was able to once again live out what she already was. What she truly was. This is our story. Can you imagine? We were created as God's sons and daughters. But sin came, and I don't want to dismiss that we were responsible for our sin, because we are so totally responsible for our sin. But in some sense of the word, sin lied to us. And we started to believe we were somebody else's. But God would not leave us lost. He kept searching for us, and he sent Christ, and he came to us, and he rescued us from sin, and he brings us back home. He comes to tell us today that we are aliens in this sinful world. We don't really belong here now. Our true home is in his kingdom. That is the truth that we must imagine. It is the fairy tale that's come to life. And if we take hold of it, it will change our lives. Will you have faith? Now, I've been accused of talking about superheroes a little bit too much from the pulpit, but I'm going to do this just one. It's actually from the book, and so I have an excuse. It's in the book we're reading. It says that we are more like Spider-Man than we are Batman. See, Batman was a self-made hero out to avenge his parents' death. Spider-Man, though, he was just like a normal kid, kind of, you know, awkward, but he was embedded into something that gave him extra strength. And he realized because of this given power he had a responsibility. My friends, we are more like Spider-Man than you realize. Now, I realize, of course, the analogy is only so true. I mean, the Spirit is an entity. It's part of the Trinity. We can't control it totally. It's not ours to control. And we must be dependent on God every step of the way for his power, not our own. However, there is a real power, and it's inside of us. You believe that? It's called the Holy Spirit. And it lives in Christians. And it changes us. The Bible says the sword of the Spirit, the shield of the faith, are just two of the weapons God has given us to use. They're part of the armor we use to fight our battles. But my friends, if you don't start to imagine yourself as a warrior in this life, it's probably not likely that you will ever act like one. We've been given a job. And it's a little bit of a mystery. But that's okay. That's what makes it fun. This great mystery we are part of. Again, not mystery in the sense that it's made up. Mystery that we just don't understand it all. Mystery that we can't see and touch it all. But it's still true. Did your parents ever give you an article of clothing growing up that was really too big for you? But they said something like, oh, you'll grow into it. You'll grow into it. And you wore it because it was your dad's or your mom's. The clothing had become yours. It's yours clothing now. It's not theirs, but you'll have to grow into it. The cross of Jesus has told us that we are no longer slaves to sin. It's given us a gift. We've been given this union with Christ. We've been given it. Our identity has changed. We're no longer living with the sin who wants to keep us a slave. We have been reunited with our original parent, our Heavenly Father. And He has changed our identity back to what it was. We've been given armor. We've been given weapons. We just need to grow into them. We can be part of a great mystery in this world. We can be part of a great adventure. But if you can't imagine it, if you don't have faith to take hold of it, then you'll continue to live out your days however you desire, living out the reality that you see and you touch and you feel. Because every part of our humanness just wants to go by what we can easily understand. Because we don't want to embrace any mystery in our life anymore. We can't buy into anything that's not proven and solid. And that's the danger. That's the danger that the church is struggling with. People don't buy into that mystery anymore. They don't buy into the tale that's bigger than their own. Can you imagine? Can you take hold of this fairy tale that's actually true? I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward as I start to wrap up. Faith is confidence in what we hope for. Confidence in what we hope for. Faith is assurance about things we do not see. There is more out there than what you can see. There is more to hope for than what we usually hope for. A paycheck, health, a movie. There is more to hope for than that. But you must imagine the truth. You must embrace the mystery of the gospel. And if you wake up every day and you put on the armor of God and you see yourself as a warrior, life will never be the same.